Proverbs Every Day, episode 282. I'm going to be doing Proverbs 7 today. And yeah, looks like I'm trying to get through this. I was at a conference this weekend, and so I'm feeling a little bit schmaltzy, let's put it that way. But nonetheless, let me pray for you, and we shall get started. Father God, thank you so much for another day, for all the blessings that you give us. And Father, that you do ask that you protect us from immorality, that you would allow us an extra dose of your grace, that you would give us the patience to not be fooled into diving into debates and various things that the world is trying to get us to do. So, Father, I do ask for an extra extra helping of your grace and patience this morning and throughout our day today. Father, we love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I mean, you know what time it is, right? All right, let's get into this. This is actually my second attempt at recording this, to be honest with you. So, a little frustrated, but hey, you know what? It's what it is. Proverbs 7, reading from the New Living Translation. Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes, or as the pupil of your own eye. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Love wisdom like a sister. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Let them protect you from an affair with an immoral woman, from listening to the flattery of a promiscuous woman. So, yeah, the flattery here is the... is the beginning of all this. And so so you're being protected from this. And so obviously these are words to a young man, but as we'll see here, that there is more to it than just that. All right, so the story, verse 6. While I was at the window of my house, looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men, and one in particular who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. All right, so first mistake, you know where he should be and shouldn't be, right? Yeah, we know. It was twilight. In the evening, as deep darkness fell, so you're out at the wrong time, too. Come on, man. Come on. The woman approached him, seductively dressed and sly of heart. Okay, so this is where we have our first thing here. Our first item, I guess. Her first thing is that she is making herself as attractive as she can. She's not out by accident. This is just very much an intentional thing. So, yeah, hard to ignore there. She was the brash, rebellious type, never content to stay at home. She's often in the streets and markets, soliciting at every corner. She threw her arms around him and kissed him. With a brazen look, she said, "I've just made my peace offerings and fulfilled my vows." Okay, don't miss this. This is actually really key. So she's saying that she's made her peace offerings and fulfilled my vows. Fulfilled my vows being that she's basically trying to trick him into thinking that it's no longer important that she's married. Yeah. Verse 15, you're the one I was looking for. I came out to find you, and here you are. Okay, so it feels weird saying the story the second time, but you didn't hear it the first time I said it. So let me go ahead and say it. I was at a gathering this weekend of 90 gentlemen in my my mastermind and the others that are associated with it in this group we call Iron Sarpens Iron, which we'll read about later. But one of the things that is standing out to me is somebody in my mastermind in one of our private little breakouts reminded me that men seek respect. Women seek love. Now, there's variances thereof, right? There's variances in there. But generally speaking, men seek after respect. Women seek after that feeling of love, right? So what she's doing here in verse 15 is she's saying, you're the one I was looking for. I came out to find you, and here you are. In other words, it has nothing to do with love. It has everything to do with her giving him a sense of respect and honor, and so much so above and beyond what she would even give to her husband, okay? So that's what she's saying here. And then she makes her intentions not even close to discreet here. My bed is spread with beautiful blankets, with colored sheets of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink our fill of love till morning. Okay, so again, we have this use of words that is kind of purposely deceptive. So she's trying to make it seem like it's okay for her too. So she's justifying it using her little bit of validation here. And she's obviously not in this for a long-term relationship. And she's not saying he should be either, but they're playing it. And this is my problem with a lot of stories we see in pretty much every movie or every TV show, is that the people just kind of play at it. They play act these things. They use portions that have been set aside of love to pretend that love is occurring and that it's somehow okay, even though there's no commitment to it. And in fact, in this particular case, that she is actively breaking her commitment. So it's going well beyond that, but she's using this language to try and justify it with the sole purpose of seducing him. So she says, let's enjoy each other's caresses, for my husband is not at home. He's away on a long trip. He's taken a wallet full of money with him and won't return until later this month or until the moon is full. So she's trying to trick him in this way of saying it's perfectly fine. You know, he's not going to be here. He's not going to barge in on us or anything like that. He's gone. He's not, you know. And I think most guys at this point would be like, okay, wait, no, I need to go. I would hope most guys. But I think there's also if she has successfully seduced that respect part well enough, and this person wasn't a person that would be reading things like this in his youth and into his 20s and that sort of thing, that might be seeing this as a conquest kind of a thing. So she's basically inviting that part of his nature to take over here. So verse 21, so she seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. He followed her at once, going like an ox to the slaughter. He was like a stag caught in a trap. Or as Greek and Syriac versions, Hebrew reads, slaughter as shackles are for the discipline of a fool. Like a stag caught in a trap, awaiting the arrow that would pierce his heart. He was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing that it would cost him his life. So listen to me, my sons, and pay attention to my words. Don't let your hearts stray towards her. Don't wander down her wayward path. For she has been the ruin of many. Many men have been her victims. Her house is the road to the grave. Or Sheol. Her bedroom is the den of death. So I'm going to probably... Yeah. There's lots to say here. In fact, I'm going to include what I'd done the previous recording because I think it was actually pretty powerful and that sort of thing. But I need you to understand here that this is something where this is a obviously something we need to be teaching our sons and our young men. They need that. So if that's you, I do want you to pay attention here. Because this is something where this is the enemy's method, right? You will face these temptations. This is not something that might happen. This is you will. And it doesn't matter what you think of yourself. And in fact, if you are that gullible, then you're more likely to encounter this, not less. The notion here would be that, you know, a couple of things. One is from diseases and that sort of thing, but also literally from what we just read in the previous chapter, that this is something where if the man finds out, and there's the assumption that he will, then bad things will happen, possibly even costing your life. Here's the thing. So a woman like this is never satisfied, right? There's not a magic offering. There's not a magic one event that does it, that seals the deal, and all of a sudden she's now satiated and will not do this any further. In fact, what's likely to happen is her husband will come home and she will continue to be upset with him and blurt it out that there's this young man that cared more than he did. And so she spent the night with him instead. And, you know, these are the kind of things that happen. Just the wanting to hurt him will not stop here. It will become something where she actually does, you know, do damage and that sort of thing. And she doesn't care that this man is, you know, young man is caught in the crossfire here. That's not what it's about, is it? It's about her. Now, I want you to think about what we were talking about yesterday in terms of the spiritual message for us, because there's a couple of things that we need to recognize here, and this is going to shock a few of you, but I'm going to turn this in a way that you're maybe not expecting, and that is that we need to be aware that the adulterous woman is us. We turn from God. We try to rebel against God. We do these things that are, you know, it meant to not only rebel, but try and build ourselves up. That is our sinful nature. That is part of the fall. That is what Satan is trying so hard to bring out in us. It's not that we are naturally good and that Satan is just influencing us. Satan is influencing. He's attempting to influence us. But by our nature, we have that rebellion that we have inherited from Adam. Okay, we have that from the get-go. This is why... I'm sitting here talking with my hands below the thing, but this is why, let me just shake you up. This is why a faith in Jesus is so utterly and completely crucial, because left to our own devices, this is us, okay? It is absolutely crucial that you surrender your life to Christ, because it is only by him that we can be redeemed from this and set on a different path. It's just the reality here. That's the only way we can be made into that new creation that is not subject to this because we know better. Now, does that mean we are automatically and forever not subject to this? Satan's going to do everything that Satan possibly can to remind us. But my encouragement to you, if you feel that rebellion coming on, if you feel that need to rebel, be that, and when I say promiscuous, I don't mean just sexually or anything like that. That's not, I'm actually going way beyond that. This is a much wider metaphor, okay? If you feel that coming on, again, it's not the actions, it's the character, okay? It is what is in your heart. That is what is so crucial here. You need to understand that that is something that will always be something that we're tempted by, but that we have no need to participate in. We are a people that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and that word of that testimony. We are redeemed by that. Okay? We don't have to be subject to that anymore. We are outside of that. And so we can now be the savior, or sorry, oh my gosh, be saved from that. Might have to edit that in post or something. We can be redeemed from all that. It is a beautiful thing when you think about it, that even though we see our nature and we know these things, that we can call on the name of Jesus and be redeemed by that. It is actually a very beautiful thing. And why am I being so aggressive about this, I guess you could say? Well, it's because our Savior aggressively seeks us out. We'll see in the next chapter, a few chapters here, that there is also an allegory for Christ in the character of wisdom and how wisdom pursues us. And it's in a different way than the seductress does. And so it's just a fun story. I love telling it every month. It is a fun story to go through in that regards. But I think there's just a lot to realize here, you know, that again, first of all, young men, pay attention. Don't just glaze over this. This is something that is crucial for you to understand and to know that these temptations are coming. You know, my wife and I have witnessed this happen firsthand. We've actually seen that, forgive my crassness about this, but the cougar effect happening. We've seen this scene playing out. Literally, we've seen it play out. And it was just mind-boggling to witness. But we've seen it happen. So when I say that this can be us, that's the other piece of that I really do want you to pay attention to, is that I say that from a position of having seen the reality of the story and realizing that that is something that we are equally susceptible to spiritually, not just in the physical sense. Okay. So anyway, I hope that you are blessed by the best, and then you can be a blessing to all the rest. I was originally going to leave you with the song that I'd created for this, and if I can correct it, I will. The way it came out was just a little too gritty for me, a little too angry. So I'm going to do some things to try and, make that a little bit more approachable, I guess you could say. But I do want to tell you, look into the description. You'll see a link where we are giving away this book, Jesus the High Road Leader. It is by Chris Hodges and the one and only John C. Maxwell. This is based on John's book, The High Road Leader, and is an expansion of that with Jesus at the center. So when I was there getting my John Maxwell certification, I picked up some of these for this purpose, to be able to send out. So there'll be a full contest rules and all that kind of stuff. No purchase necessary, obviously, but it is something that is for subscribers. So make sure you are one of those. You'll have more opportunities to do that and some other bounties and to share. The more you share, the more bounties you do, the more little activities you do in this contest, the more chances you have to win. So I do encourage you to do that. If you go out and buy the book, it's $18. So getting it for free shipped to you is great. It is limited to people here in the US, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So I encourage you to do that and to then spread the word about all we're doing here. And yeah, so we will see you. Well, hopefully we'll see you later today for our study in Acts. And so we'll be continuing that as well. That's the kind of the reason for this whole giveaway event, but I thought I'd announce it here as well, just for fun. Love you guys. And we will see you tomorrow.
While I was at the window of my house, looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men, and one in particular who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. It was at twilight in the evening, as deep darkness fell. The woman approached him, seductively dressed and sly of heart. She whispered promises of pleasure in his eager, untested ear. Her words like honey, sweet and smooth, her intent not sincere. She led him away from the street and down a shadowy lane. Forgetting wisdom, he followed, drawn by desire's chain. Stay away from her seduction. Cling to wisdom strong and clear. Don't let her charm ensnare your heart. Heed the voice of what you hold dear. Keep my command like a shield, let them guide your every move. For in the light of wisdom's path, your life you'll surely prove. Her lips dripped temptation's nectar, her eyes a dangerous gleam. Captivated by her allure, he fell into the dream. Her voice like a siren's call, drawing him near. A web of deception spun tight as he discarded his fear. Stay away from her seduction. Cling to wisdom strong and clear. Don't let her charm ensnare your of what you hold dear. Keep my commands close like a shield. Let them guide your every move. For in the light of wisdom's path, your life you'll surely prove. Children, hear this tale with care. The house of the seductress leads to depths of despair. Her track is a swift descent to the chambers of death, where many strong have fallen, robbed of life's breath. Turn from the road that leads to her door, for those who enter seldom return anymore. With persuasive words, she lured him in. With smooth talk, she led him astray. Like an ox going to the slaughterhouse, unaware as he made his way.
Surely prove.